I'm Nick Spitzer with American Roots at the Movies. Trumpet player Terrence Blanchard's career has taken him from the Big Easy to the big screen. After studying jazz at New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts and Rutgers University, he joined Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers in 1982. 8 years later, he left the band to pursue a solo career and began playing on Spike Lee's soundtracks, such as Mo' Better Blues. Spike eventually thrust Terrence into the role of composer and conductor and asked him to score all of his films since 1991. Blanchard received an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Score on Spike Lee's 2018 film, Black Klansman. Terrence told me about his first appreciation of music in movies.
I think I was in Chicago playing with Art Blakey, and I would have an off day, and I went to go see Star Wars. And it just blew me away, being a brass player. You know, when I heard those huge brass lines, you know, in the orchestra, and I'm going, well, who is this, man? Where did this come from? So that kind of got me. Then, of course, Chinatown, you know, again with the trumpet and how it was used in such an effective way. Then it was like Shawshank Redemption, you know, The Mission, Ennio Morricone. And Shawshank Redemption is Thomas Newman. And all of those things, man, had a profound effect on me because they really had a huge impact on the stories that they were telling. So for me, it was an eye-opening thing to realize that I had to figure out what's gonna be my voice. What it really boiled down to was just being honest about how I felt about the story and how I would feel about any individual scene.
How much was the music that you grew up with in church? I assume some various forms of sacred music. How much has that influenced the way you approach your music in general and creating emotions, you know, in a filmic setting?
The more and more I think about it, I think it's influenced it more than I would ever really want to admit, you know, because I didn't grow up in a gospel church. I grew up in a congregational church. So I saw these black men like that dedicated to singing operatic classical, spiritually based music.
Oh, I wanna go.
But the melodies and those lines, you know, hearing all of that stuff has had a huge effect on me. It's one of the reasons why I'm a strong proponent of melodic content.
How do you think that the spiritual relation to music, I mean, is that something that continues for you with, in film and secular things like this?
It's the singular thing that drives me. The thing that I talk about now is the healing power of music. You know, my last album with the E Collective was called Live, and we had done an album prior to that called Breathless that was about Black Lives Matter and I Can't Breathe. And Live, the next one, was really about continuing the conversation about gun violence. And we went to three cities that had very tragic incidents. We went to Dallas, Minneapolis, and Cleveland. And when we were in Cleveland, man, we were playing the music, and a guy after the show came up to me and says, you know, I thought I was going to hear your Tale of God's Will music, but the music you were playing sounded angry, you know. And he said, but then you told me what the music was about. And he said that my next thought was, well, if this guy who created Tale of God's Will is this angry about this particular topic, I have to rethink my position on gun control. And that, you know, keyed something into me about how spirit and how this, look, we all feel that there's something bigger out here than us as individuals, you know, and when you try to tap into that, to try to change some hearts and minds about issues that really affect us as human beings, you know, to me, that's the main thing that drives me about music now.
Heavy-hearted I sit. Too weak to stand and too tired to fight on another day. So I'll lay. I'll lay in the land of Akeldama, a land bought by betrayal and soiled with the blood of brutality. But this land
is my land.
It's my land.
It's my land. It's my land.
Or so they say.
How did you first encounter Spike Lee and get involved working with him?
Well, the first time I encountered him, there was a guy named Harold Vick who was contracting the bands for Spike's early films when his father was doing the music.
Bill and Lee, jazz bass player.
Great composer.
Great.
So they decided to have young and old musicians in the band, which I thought was a really cool idea. So I walk into the session, man, and the Lakers had just won the NBA championship. And I got on, I had the hat, I had the T-shirt, I even had the shoes, dude. You know, Spike looks at me and he goes, "Lakers fan, huh?" I go, "Yeah, what's up?" You know, I didn't know Spike at the time. You know, I was like, "Yeah, what's up, man?" I didn't know he was a big Knicks fan, you know? So he started taking me to Knicks games, man. And then we became friends. And we was doing a little bit of blues, man. We were doing the pre-recorded music. He heard me playing something at the piano and asked to use it. And then after that, he asked me to write a string arrangement for it. And we've been working together ever since from that one moment.
Does he have a lot of input in what he's looking for with you? Or do you just kind of, do you get the story and then you come back with something? How do you actually work?
Well, you know, that's been the interesting thing about working with Spike for a long time. I kind of know what it is that he likes. I mean, when I first started working with him, he said, "Listen, I don't like underscore." You know, he said, "I like melodic lines. I like thematic material in my films." He said, "I want people to walk away humming the themes for the film. And whenever they hear it, I want them to associate the film with that."
Is in a very difficult position in a lot of different ways in the social order and in politics. Can music bring us somewhere better than where we are?
I think so. You know, we've gotten complacent and we've sitting back and allowed things to happen. We can't do that anymore. We see that we have to be active, you know, and if my little corner of the world playing music allows us to have that discussion and maybe change a couple of hearts and minds, then I think it's worth it. Talk about Black Klansman, I think that's one of the things that struck everybody about the film is because you start out the film watching it as a period piece. And you see those bell bottoms, the afros, the leather jackets, man, and you go, "Oh man, I remember that," you know, for some of us, you know. And you get to the end of the film and Spike puts in the montage from, you know, Charlottesville. And it all of a sudden, you start to say, well, maybe we haven't grown as far away from this as we thought. It's a startling reality of where we are as a country. And I think that's probably the main thing about the film.
The opening score for you, Gone with the Wind, is amazing. I mean, it has elements of Dixie and elements of Way Down Upon the Suwannee River.
I kept remembering growing up in the 70s here in New Orleans where those tunes were like major deals, you know, I mean, and that's the way I try to treat them, you know, and then to go from that into the Alec Baldwin scene, you know, I thought was brilliant on Spike's part.
Guarding David Duke, drum beats, fear, power. I mean, how did you decide on that soundscape?
We had done something similar in the Miracle at St. Anna with the German soldiers. What we did was, in that film, we used field drums for the American soldiers to have a more warm sound and very tight snares, high-pitched snares for the Germans to have like a tight, crisp sound. So we thought about bringing that back for the David Duke, protecting David Duke scene. And I think it worked really well, you know, because it gives you this sense of they think that they're this majestic military force of some sort, you know, taking up some type of cause. For me, it kind of opened a window to their mindset.
Who comes up with a title like Hatred at its Best?
Spike. Yeah, that was a Spikeism. It's a window into his perception of how he's trying to tell a story. You know, that's what it is. I mean, Hatred at its Best. One of the things about Spike that I've always loved is that he's a film historian, but he's also been a humanitarian. And that's what a lot of people miss, because he's African-American. They think he's just an angry black man. When we were working on Inside Man, I was displaced because of the hurricane. So we had an apartment in L.A. So he came out to L.A., and I'll never forget it, Nick. When he walked into my apartment, he didn't even say hi. First thing he said was, I'm going to do a documentary on those levees, and I'm going to give those people a chance to speak and tell their story. That was huge for me.
What is the transition for you, say, as a leader, to then have to work with a director?
Man, Nick, nobody's ever asked that question that way. That's a good question. I never thought about it, really, you know, because you're a lead in one situation, then in another situation, you're kind of like a sideman. You know, the thing about doing film, man, being the composer, it's like there's a moment of fear when you see the film the first time. Because, you know, everybody's done their job, man. You know, the actors, the lighters, wardrobe people, everybody, editing, they've all done their job. And you're the last line of defense. And then people come to you and say, okay, now take us across the finish line.
But how do you feel when you go and sit in the dark with strangers and watch a film with your music in it? Well, that's an unusual experience.
It's excruciating, man. It's excruciating, you know what I mean? Because, you know, as soon as the thing starts, you go, oh, my God, what did I write? I can't remember any of it. I hope it works. Does it make sense? What do these people think? You know what I mean?
I hope it wasn't too excruciating for you to visit with me here on American Roots.
No, man, it's good to see you, man. I miss you from the old neighborhood, dude. It's good to see you, man.
mold.
Mary, Don't You Weep. Prince, from his posthumous album Piano and Microphone, 1983. Heard at the end of Spike Lee's Black Klansman. And closing out our conversation with Terrence Blanchard. Terrence received a Grammy for his composition Blut und Boden, Blood and Soil, in the soundtrack. And we are back with music from the films Big Night and The Big Easy, when American Roots returns.